Okay, we're starting with the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amud Bet. Okay, so we're going to start there, and from there we'll start there. Almana leKohen Gadol, Grusha veChalutza leKohen Hedyot. Okay, this is our typical case of anyone who's forbidden to marry a Kohen, right? Whether it's the widow to the Kohen Gadol or the divorcee or the Chalutza, someone who went through the process of Chalitza for a Kohen Hedyot. Now, what we want to discuss, it's a very complicated Mishnah. The Mefarshim have big arguments about how to explain this Mishnah, the Pshat Bichlal. We're going to just go with one approach to make it simpler, but know that there's other approaches. So now, what happens to her when it comes to Truma? Okay, so we've talked already that there's different stages of Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin was halachic engagement, where she would be living in her father's house still, and only when she went to the Nisuin process would she move to her husband's house. And again, right, the Erusin process means you're now forbidden. Before that, you were mutar to anybody in the world. You're now forbidden to everybody, including your upcoming husband. And the Nisuin permits you to your husband. So now, the assumption here that we're going to go by, okay, is that the question is, like Rashi says, if he marries a Bat Kohen, so she now is about to marry a Kohen in a forbidden manner. Before she's married, she can eat truma, because she has her father's truma from her father's house. When she gets married to this Kohen, she's going to be able to eat truma. Well, the assumption is when she marries any Kohen, right, she'll continue eating truma. The problem is here, she's going to marry a Kohen that's forbidden to her, in which case, she's not allowed to eat truma. So the question is going to be, at what stage does she go, okay, let's take a regular woman. She eats truma in her father's house, then she goes and marries a Yisrael. So she can no longer eat truma. Now the question is, right, what stage from the Erusin, I think already she can't eat truma. She's already forbidden at that point to eat truma because she's about to marry someone. That's a good question, actually. I think, right, the truth is I don't remember when a regular person stops eating truma. But if she's a Bat Kohen, she's supposed to continue. The question is now she's about to marry someone who she's forbidden to. The question is, at what point is it from the Kiddushin that she's forbidden, or is it from the Erusin that she's forbidden? Okay? At what point is she really, you know, violating this prohibition of marrying the wrong person? Is it the earlier stage or the later stage? So let's see. Amana l'kohen gadol grusha chalutza l'kohen hedyot mina Erusin lo yochlu b'truma. Tanakama, which we're going to see is Rabbi Meir's opinion, says immediately the time she's engaged, she already can't eat truma. We're going to see his reasoning in the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirim, they say no problem. Erusin is fine. Okay, it's going to be Nisuin that's more of a problem. Now, Nit'armelu, O Nidgarshu, what if she's widowed or divorced from this Kohen? Okay, so Minha Nisuin Psulot, Mina Erusin Sherot. If they were only engaged and then the husband dies or divorces her, then even according to Rabbi Meir, who said that from the moment of Erusin, she already can't eat truma, if she never actually married him, then she goes back to eating truma in her father's house. But if she married him and went through, you know, the point is that the marriage is the full, right, is the real moment. The question is just, do we also say, since Erusin leads to Nisuin, that the moment of Erusin already it's a problem? Or do we say, no, it's only for the moment of Nisuin? But even if we say that from Erusin it's a problem, if there was never Nisuin, the Nisuin never happened, then, and then he dies, or she gets divorced, then we go backwards and she can go back to eating in her father's house. But once she violates this prohibition by marrying him, then there's no turning back. She can never eat truma. She is now a halala. She's not allowed to eat truma. She can't go back to her father's house and eat their truma food.
So you get a get even just from Erusin.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, from Erusin. Erusin, you already need a get, okay? That was the whole question when we talked about the chalitza and all the get stuff there. Is it the same? You know, do you, do you need a get from Ma'amar? All that. Okay. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir. So now we're going to see a braita in which they have a discussion. The people in our Mishnah, okay, here's a more elaborate version of our Mishnah, have a discussion back and forth about what their proofs are for what they said. Amar Rabbi Meir, Kavachomer. I'm going to darshan a Kavachomer here. Why? Uma kidushei reshut. This how to explain this also is complicated depending on how you interpret the Mishnah. Ma kidushei reshut e machilin. kiddushei avera lo kol shekein. If in the case of a marriage, like a Yisrael, right, you have to explain this. So, one second. This is, if in a regular marriage of a Yisrael and a bat kohen, right? Ah, right, here's the answer of what I said. Ma kiddushei reshut ein machilin. Since, okay, this was what I said. I wasn't sure, now I remember. The, normally, as soon as you get engaged, you stop eating truma. Okay, if you're a bat kohen, okay, let's try to, right, you're a bat kohen, and you have kiddushin with a Yisrael. Okay? And then there's nisun. So from the moment of kiddushin, you're already forbidden. So that's his kal v'chomer. He says, if from the moment of kiddushin you're forbidden, then obviously kiddushei avera lo kol shekein. If she's now, this is called kiddushei reshut, because about this bat kohen, she's a grusha. She can marry anybody she wants. It's all permitted. If she can marry anyone she wants, and right, it's reshut. She's not doing anything wrong. Let's put it in those terms. She's not doing anything wrong by marrying this Yisrael. If that's the case, and yet at the moment of kiddushin, she's forbidden in truma, right? For lo ochel truma, right? If from that moment, then obviously, if it's kiddushei avera, if she's marrying someone she's forbidden to marry, then obviously we're going to say she violates, right, her rights. She loses her rights at the point of kiddushin. That's the logic of Rabbi Meir. You can argue with this logic, which is exactly what they're going to say. Okay, the other two guys say, Amru lo, okay, this is Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, lo, im amarta b'kiddushei reshut, why in kiddushei reshut, when she marries the Yisrael, does she lose her truma right away? Why? Shekein ein lo lahachil b'makom achir. He can't ever give her truma. So she's now, it's true, it's a permitted marriage, but it's a marriage that from the moment she marries him, she will never be allowed to eat truma, right? Through him. He can never feed anyone truma. He's, right, he's a Yisrael. So tomar b'kiddushei avera, shekein yesh lo lahachil b'makom achir. But she's now going to marry, she's doing a kiddushin to a kohen, right? Now it's true, she's not allowed to marry this kohen, okay? But she's doing kiddushin to this kohen. He might not be able to feed her truma, but he can feed other people truma. If he were to marry a regular woman, he'd have the rights. So just because it's a forbidden, as the question is, what's stronger here? The fact that it's a forbidden marriage, or the fact, right, when we compare it to the Yisrael, it's the fact that the Yisrael can't ever provide truma, so she loses it immediately. The second she makes this connection with him, it's gone. It doesn't mean, though, if she marries a Kohen, so far they haven't done anything wrong because she hasn't married him yet. And only at the moment where she does the Avera should she lose her truma, because he can provide truma, so she's not necessarily supposed to give up her rights immediately. That's the debate here, right? What's stronger? The fact that it's a Kohen and he can still provide truma to other people, so therefore maybe she won't lose her rights right away? Or is it the fact that they're doing an Avera, right? And that makes them lose their rights right away. So now we're going to bring another machloket, which is going to, they're going to try to connect, and then we're going to say, how does it connect, okay? So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Patsua Daka, okay, this is a guy who has a some sort of problem with his penis. I don't remember exactly, right? A patsua daka?
Crushed testicles.
What? Crushed testicles. Okay. So he has crushed testicles. He is like a mamzer. He's not allowed to marry anyone within Kahal Hashem. Okay? He's like a mamzer. Okay? He's forbidden to marry someone but Kahal Hashem. Now, what if he's a Kohen? Okay? So Ptsua Daka Kohen, Shekidesh Ba Yisrael, Banu Lemachloka, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Why? So now we're going to see, while they're discussing this, we're going to see the real reason behind Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Le Rabbi Meir de Amar, so again the question is, he's a Kohen, he's a Ptsua Daka, okay? So now, at what point that she marries him, okay, she's a Ba Yisrael, at what point, second. So if he's Kidesh Bat Yisrael, the question is going to be, does she get to eat truma or not? Because this is going to be the complicated part. He's a Kohen. However, he's not allowed to marry people. Does that mean he's pasul the truma also? Where he's still the Ptsua Daka, so he could still feed people truma. He's still a Kohen, so he could still feed people truma. He's like we don't know how to define, right? The Torah talks about the Ptsua Daka. But it doesn't talk about what happens to a Ptsua Daka Kohen. Can he still feed people truma or not?
So it's different because here he's usher because of him. In the other case, it's usher because of her.
It's true. It's true. There's a difference because he's the one who's be'isser and she's the one. It's true. So let's see how they go through the machloket, okay? So if he does kiddushim with her, right, it's still the same with the stages, right? At what stage, this is what they're going to try to say, at what stage is the critical stage? The kiddushim or is it nisuin? So, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, okay, Rabbi Meir de Amar, Mishtameret Lebiya Psula, Mishtameret Lebiya Psula de Oraita, Lo Achla. Hanami lo achla. What do we say? What does it mean, mishtameret labia psula d'oraita? It means that she now is waiting, right? She's waiting for an inappropriate relationship, right? She hasn't yet done the avera because they're not married, but she's waiting for it. She's in this in-between stage. So Rabbi Meir holds, if you're mishtameret labia psula d'oraita, then you already can't eat truma because you're about to do, right? It's almost like this, right? You haven't yet done it. Of course, you have done some act, but the act you've done of kiddushin isn't enough yet. So if you're waiting to do it, he already says lo achla. That's the reason for his logic there. So we'll say the same thing for the logic here. It's a psua daka, waiting to eat, and therefore waiting to do a forbidden marriage, and therefore she already can't eat truma. Hanami, so we'll say the same thing here, lo achla, same with the psua daka, and same with, that's his logic for Rabbi Meir for saying lo achla truma. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, de Amre, Mishtamer, Labia Psula, Doraita, Achla, right? What did he say? They said that in the case of the Almanah, the Kohen Gadol, the Grusha, Chalutza, the Kohen Idiot, it's true that they're waiting, Labia Psula, Doraita, but that doesn't forbid them from eating Chuma. So we'll say the same thing here. Hanami, Achla. Okay, there's also a big difference here because in our case, again, it depends whose interpretation you take, but I said we're going to just read it this way, that it's talking about a Bat Kohen in our Mishnah. And we're talking about her losing the truma from her father. And here we're talking about a Bat Yisrael who's going to now come into truma. Is she going to come into truma or not? So it's not a perfect comparison. So now they're going to say, Mimai, why are you making this comparison? It's not a good comparison. Dilma ad kan lo ka'amri Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hatam. Okay, maybe Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon are only making, or only saying that she can eat truma in the Mishnah. Why? Because in our Mishnah, what's the situation? He's a Kohen. He's a regular Kohen, right? Exactly like Shoshana said. It's all about the woman in our Mishnah, not about the man. The man's a perfectly good man. Like, he's a regular Kohen. So, Ella, why did they say she can eat truma still? Because Yesh lo la'achil b'makom acher. He is able to give truma in other situations. In other words, if he married any other woman who was mutter to him, he'd be allowed to give her truma. So, therefore, in this case, she doesn't lose the truma right away. But in the Psua Daka case, what do we say? He's a Psua Daka, and therefore he can never feed anybody truma. So therefore, they might say in the Psua Daka case that the Kohen isn't ma'achil b'truma to this woman. Even at the Kiddushin stage, right? Even before they've done the Bia, and that it's not because this concept of Mishtamer Labia. Right, what did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said in our case? Mishtamer Labia Psula Doraita, she can still eat Truma because she hasn't yet done the act of Nisuin. And therefore, it's permitted. But he would only say it there because there she's marrying a real Kohen who's a good Kohen. Whereas in our case, she's marrying a Kohen who's got a problem. Exactly the difference Shoshana pointed out. Bechite Mahachanami, let's say you want to say that it would be the same. Why? Yesh lo la'achil bebat gerim. Okay, what does that mean? A Ptsua Daka, it's true he can't marry anybody regular, but he can marry the daughter of a ger. Okay? Or maybe you will say he can marry the daughter of a ger. And if that's the case, now what's the issue here? The rabbis didn't exactly know, like I said in the beginning, can a Ptsua Daka give people truma or not give people truma? Okay? If you're a Ptsua Daka, that you're a Kohen, it's true you can't marry a regular person, but you can. Whoever you are allowed to marry, maybe you're allowed to give them truma. Okay, so why don't we say that we can't compare because both of them are Kohanim. Both of them can give someone truma. It's just a matter, so one can give all other Yisraeli truma, and one can only give truma to a bat gerim. Yeah.
So you have to be genetically Jewish to because aren't they children of the gerim halachically Jewish? If they're real gerim, aren't they?
Halachically Jewish. So we're going to say, so this is going to be the question about the bat gerim. How do we treat the daughter of a ger? Okay, this
is
going to be
Israel or Kohanim, right?
What?
who's neither Yisrael nor Kohen.
Right, she's obviously nothing.
Yeah, I mean, now we always have a question that they convert and they're doing Sephardic or Ashkenazi.
Right, but...
And this was Kohen or Yisrael.
But no, this isn't even the question. The question is, are they lower status than that? In other words, we have in our society, there's Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, and then there's Psulei Chitun, we call them. Okay, this is a big problem. There's people who are mamzerim, okay? They're married from an inappropriate relationship like all the different ones we've discussed. Or we're going to see now, like this Ptsua Daka. So Ptsua Daka can't marry someone who's considered Bekahal Hashem. Okay, this is a very difficult sugya for people who like to believe that, you know, everyone's included, everyone's equal, and we believe that, you know, there's no racism. But in this context, you have to understand their society was hierarchical. And the Torah talks about that there's people who can't marry other people. Okay? For anyone who didn't hear the other day, we were talking about in the Jofa Journal, there were some interesting articles. One I read about our Daf Yomi Shir, but the other one was that a woman, right, there's Rivka Lubitsch, who's very involved in a lot of this stuff. She talks about Mamzerim there and how we really have to resolve the Mamzerim problem. And she offers four halachic solutions. You can read her article. I have it here. I can send it to you. And she talks about that the rabbis are basically like ignoring the fact that we have this problem. And that really there are people living today who are stuck and they just can't get married. And it's a real big problem. You know, if you're living in America and you want to do whatever you want, so you can go out of the system. But here, if you want to be a citizen of our country, you have to get married only according to the laws of the country. And it's a big problem because the people are living with mamzerus issues. And you know, I mean, in America also, if you're part of a community, then you're also stuck. So she recommends four solutions. I don't know, you know, how strong each of them are, but there's different possibilities that she tries to say. So in any case, this Tzua Daka falls into this category where he's not allowed to marry anyone above, you know, the lowest level. So now the question is, who belongs in this lowest level? So if he were to marry Bat Gerim, maybe we would say that if he marries a Bat Gerim, he can give her truma because he's still a Kohen. He might be a Ptsua Daka and he can't marry people, but he could marry someone at that low level, in which case then he'd be allowed to feed her truma, in which case you can make the comparison now because there is someone potentially he could feed truma to, just like the Kohen could feed truma to a different wife. He could also feed truma to a different wife if he were to marry a Bat Gerim. So now, but it already was introduced by Vachitema, which means it's going to be rejected. Vachitema means that if you want to say this, it doesn't work. Why? This was the famous question that Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yoshaya, and Rabbi Yoshaya didn't know the answer. In other words, can a Ptsua Daka feed his wife Truma? Okay? If a Ptsua Daka marries the daughter of a Ger, can she eat Truma or not? That's going to be the question that Rabbi Yoshaya doesn't know the answer to. So you can't say it's so obvious that he can feed her Truma, because Rabbi Yoshaya, this big rabbi, was asked the question by Rabbi Yochanan, right? I had no idea. Put that on hold for a bit. We're going to go back to that question. We're going to see when he asked him the question, and then the Gemara is going to try to give an answer to that question. But for now, we're going to continue in the flow of our sugya. So we can say that. In which case, right now, we're at the point where we had, we tried to say that the Ptsua Daka case is like our case, and then we said you can't really compare the two, okay? Because the Kohen can be Machil Truma to other people, and the Ptsua Daka can't. So now we're going to see two possible answers to this question, how you can compare them. Itmar. Okay, Itmar is an introduction to a machloket amoraim. The structure is usually always the same. It's just very helpful in the Gemara. When you know what a word means and how it's used, then you'll know how to read the Gemara on your own after. So Itmar means we're going to have a machloket amoraim. It's going to say, so-and-so says this, so-and-so says that. Then it's going to explain more. He says this because blah, 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 and he says that because blah, blah, blah. Okay? Once in the blue moon, you don't have the last stage, but usually you do. So Itmar. Abai Yamar ho'il u'ma'achila b'lo yida'a. Okay. In which case can a Ptsua Daka give a woman truma? He does have a way. Where is that way? If he marries her before he becomes the Ptsua Daka, then while they're married, he becomes a Ptsua Daka. Now, the prohibition for Ptsua Daka is to have sex with his wife. So if he doesn't, below yida'a, if he doesn't have sex with her, then they stay married without having relations, and then she can still eat truma in that situation. So there is a situation where a Ptsua Daka can continue to give a woman truma, and that's where he finds his case. In a case where the marriage was good, and only after that did the problem come in which case, as long as they refrain from relations, it's fine. So he says, I found my case where the Ptua Dekha can continue to give a woman truma, so therefore we can compare that case to the one in our Mishnah.
Does that mean they never had intercourse? Or they
it means they did.
They did, and then he had
a problem later. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So now, so long as he doesn't from then on in, it's okay. Rava Amar, ho'ilu ma'achila ba'avadava shibchotava k'nanim. A Ptua Dekha can't feed his wife truma, but he can feed truma to other people in his household, his slaves, okay? When you have slaves, again, we talked about this, right? You're Evik Knani, okay? Now we're learning a new aspect of Evik Knani, and I'm not sure we discussed. Evik Knani, right? What does he do? We did the whole thing. He tovels. He maybe has some sort of Kabbalah on his boat. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't need that, but he becomes your slave. He does mitzvot, okay? He does all the mitzvot aseh shazman. He's patur from all the mitzvot aseh shazman grama like women, but he's chayv in all the other mitzvot. He becomes part of your household. Now, he gets to eat your food in your house. So if you're a kohen, he gets to eat truma, okay? So now, so since the Ptua Dekha can feed his slaves, because he doesn't have a problem when it comes to that, it's only a relationship with his wife he's got an issue. So therefore, you see, he's got the koch to give other people truma. So now we're going to have to explain why doesn't each one hold like the other. Abai lo amar kerava. This is an easy one, right? Why doesn't he agree with Rava about you can feed your slaves? Because kinyan de ishu mi kinyan de ishu yalfinan velo yalfinan kinyan de ishu mi kinyan de avvadim. We can't make a comparison between relationships of people to relationships to slaves. Okay? In other words, a relationship of marriage is not the same as a relationship to a slave. So by the fact, again, I just want to go back. What are we trying to do? We're trying to compare our Mishnah, which talks about a grusha or chalutza to a kohen. At what point does she passel from eating truma? To the case of a Ptua Dekha, at what point can she eat truma, right? Or can she eat truma or can she not eat truma, right, from the point of kiddushin? So we were trying to say they're not comparable because a Ptua Dekha can never feed people truma, right? But now we said, Rabbi and Rabbi each found a case where they could feed, in which case we can make the comparison. So now we're going to say, right, so Abai doesn't like Ravas because he says you can't learn relationship between husband and wife from relationships to Avadim, okay, for those people who sometimes say that women are, and marriage is compared to Avdut, right? Like Isha nikneh b'shlosha drachim, and then it says Eved nikneh b'shlosha drachim, and it seems to compare them. So here there's a clear, they're not comparable. Those are two totally different relationships, at least according to Abai. Why doesn't he say this case where they were married and then he just doesn't sleep with her anymore and then it's okay and he can feed her truma? But that's a different situation because there he gave her truma in the first place. She started with truma, right? It's easier to continue something rather than start something. So when you have a Ptua Dekha who marries someone, you can't say, oh, from the time of marriage she gets truma. You can't learn that from a case where they were married normally. She ate truma normally, right? And then he had a problem. That's different. That's just continuing the status quo. Here we're talking about changing the status quo. So that's different. So now Rav is going to address that taina. Abai is going to address that taina of Rav and say, I have a problem with that. He says, Shekvar achla lo amrina. We don't use that taina of Shekvar achla. De'i lo temahachi ba'at Yisrael shenisit lekohen umet techo Shekvar achla. What happens to a Bat Yisrael? She marries a Kohen, she gets to eat truma. As soon as he dies, she can't eat truma. That's if they have no kids, okay? If she has kids, she still b'zchut her children, she gets to eat truma. But once, right, if she has no kids, then she can't eat truma anymore. So they say, then the concept of Kfar Achla, if we're going to use that concept with the Ptua Dekha, we should be able to use it with a regular Bat Yisrael. Because there we should say, okay, you were already eating truma, so continue for the rest of your life, even though your husband died. But Rava says, don't compare those two cases. That's not a good comparison, because Rava, hatam paka kinyane, when it comes to a marriage where they were married and then he died, what happens when he dies? They already have no relationship anymore, right? They're not married anymore. That's why she can't eat truma anymore. But when it comes to the Ptua Dekha, who is married to the woman, then he became a Ptua Dekha, and then they just continue to be married without having relations, hacha lo paka kinyane. He never, right, they didn't have a divorce, he didn't die, there was no uprooting of the marriage, and that's why in that case you could say shekvar achla, and therefore we're just continuing the status quo. But you can't say we're continuing the status quo in the case where the guy died. When the guy died, the guy died. There's no more status quo anymore. It's a whole new thing. So therefore he doesn't accept his taina. Okay, that was just a ping pong back and forth between Rava and Abaye about their proofs. Okay, Gufa. Now we're going to go back to this question that they asked, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yoshaya. First, we're going to see something that's not related to the content of it, but the form of the way it was transmitted that there was this question. We're going to have a slight question on that, and then we're going to move on to the content. We're going to try to find an answer to this question that Rabbi Yoshaya couldn't answer, but the Gemara thinks they can answer the question. Gufa. Gufa always means we're going in-depth into something we quoted before. Ba'i minei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yoshaya. He asks him this. P'tzua daka kohen shenasa bat gerim, ma'u sheachilana b'truma. Can a p'tzua daka who marries a daughter of a ger, can he feed her truma? Ishtik v'lo amarle v'lo midi. He didn't respond at all. Now, when somebody doesn't respond, it's always unclear why they don't respond. Okay, we've seen actually some cases a long time ago where they didn't respond and people were offended, right? They thought, oh, he didn't want to respond to him at all. So we're going to see here also that they thought maybe that was the case. So he doesn't respond. Lisof ata gavaraba. Another guy comes in, okay? The meanwhile, right, like the next part of the story is, a big rabbi comes in, uba mine milta achrita, upashatle. Somebody else asks him a question and he responds to him. So what do they assume at this point, right? That he didn't want to respond to Rabbi Yochanan because he didn't respect Rabbi Yochanan, okay? So first they ask Manu, who was this, right? You can imagine these are these stories that were told and now we want to fill in the details. Who was this big rabbi who came the second time? Rish Lakish, okay? It was Rish Lakish. So Amar le Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya le Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, okay, he's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. They call him Nasiya to distinguish so we don't get confused because they were both Nasiim. He says to Rabbi Yoshaya, I don't understand. Atu Rabbi Yochanan lav gavar abahu? Rabbi Yochanan wasn't a big enough guy that you didn't respond to him? Like, what was that? You just ignored him? Amar lei, he says, no, de kabai mine milta de late le patre. He asked me something I didn't have an answer to. Okay, which teaches you something, right? That you should, even if you don't have an answer, you should at least respond, right? Does this happen to you in your house? It happens to me with my kids all the time. I ask them and they ignore me. And then, you know, they said, oh, well, I didn't, whatever. And I said, well, why don't you respond at least? So at least respond and tell me that you heard me, that you were, right? It's out of respect. Yeah.
I think another analogy from my experience as a lawyer, first of all, we're talking about a legal term of acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the comparison between the woman and the slave, is the legal term of acquisition.
Uh-huh.
Acquisition is the same quality of acquisition.
Okay.
And then secondly, this has to do, in part, with the way the Supreme Court or other courts, when they're asked opinions and they're asked to decide, there are many times when the court will say the issue isn't ripe enough to decide, we have to wait until an actual case comes before us. And so that this may be something entitled to that. He didn't want to throw out an opinion generally until he saw a specific fact.
That's very
situation.
Good. I like that. So that he wanted to wait till there was a real situation in front of his head.
It's called a ripeness where you actually have a fact pattern, and then the court can decide whether it's going to decide on a broad concept of law or narrow it down to the very specific fact pattern.
I like that.
So it has limited applicability.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Okay. So now the question is, the Gemara is going to say, okay, we now want to try to figure out Rabbi Yoshaya and what the answer, you know, he couldn't come up with an answer, let's try to figure it out. So, the Liman. So first, we have to understand that there's a basic three-way machloket, okay? I charted it out. There's actually a fourth opinion, but I'm going to stick with the three that come up in our Gemara, okay? A bat gerim, who wants to marry a kohen, is she allowed to or not? There's a whole machloket about it. Okay, so one says this is just to marry a kohen in general. Okay, this isn't to marry a p'tzua daka. This is to marry a kohen. Can a ger, okay, the daughter of a convert, marry a kohen? So we have
nothing to do with eating truma.
What? So right, yafeh. And then we're gonna. There's two machlokot. One is bat gerim in terms of kahuna, and one is are gerim part of the kahal or are they not part of the kahal? Okay. And neither of them have to do with the p'tzua daka yet, but we'll see, right? Because if they're part of the kahal, then they can't marry p'tzua daka if they are, and it doesn't have to do with truma either, but they're kind of connected. So look at the chart for a minute on the page, okay? This comes up in a machloket in Kiddushin Ayin Zion, I think it is. Bat gerim tikuna. So Rabbi Yehuda says that a ger is like a halal, and therefore the daughter of a ger, right? A halal can't marry a kohen, or a halal is a man, but the halal's children can't marry kohenim, okay? Right? A halal is someone born from an inappropriate union of a kohen and a grusha, let's say. So now a ger is considered like a halal, and therefore his daughter will be a halala. But the daughter of a giyoret is not a halala. It's only transferred from the man, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Just a minute. Say that again.
Only if her father is a ger is it a problem.
Okay.
If her mother's a gioret, it's not a problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Rabbi Yossi says, any daughter of gerim is kshera to a kohen. No problem. Only the gioret herself can't marry a kohen, right? A gioret can't marry a kohen, that's midrabanan. But the children of a ger or a gioret, according to Rabbi Yossi, can. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, only if both parents are gerim Only if both parents are gerim can is she a problem. If one parent is Jewish, you know, natural, they were born into Judaism, then it's fine. Doesn't matter, man or woman, as long as one of them is Jewish, it's okay. That's the three-way machloket. In addition, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi have another machloket, okay, that's why I charted this out, about kahal gerim. Are gerim considered kahal? According to Rabbi Yehuda, they are part of the kahal Yisrael and can marry anybody. And according to Rabbi Yossi, they're not kahal Hashem, in which case, I don't think anyone thinks they can't marry anybody, Rabbi Yossi, but that's actually a good question. What does he mean that they're not part of the kahal? But it could, that's a good question. Does he mean that they can't marry at all, or does it mean that they're, like a mamzer can marry them because they're not enough kahal Hashem, that when it says, lo yavo mamzer b'kahal Hashem, or this tzuadaka who can't, they can marry a ger. It's a good question whether he thinks they can't ever marry. I find that hard to believe.
Why is this like Shera?
It seems like a contradiction. If he's the one who's going to say that they're Shera, then why would...
Right. So the question is, yeah, it's a good question. What is this kahal gerim? Yeah, no, you're asking a very good question. I need to... I didn't have enough time to figure this all out. Let me just see. Bagerim Shira the Kuna. Right, so then I must be Kahal Gerim Ikre Kahal.
So there's a note in this.
He is a Kohen Shinisalo, yeah.
It's looking at the Halacha. The congregation of converts is not called the congregation of the Lord. It is permitted for a convert to marry a mamzeret. And it is permitted for a female convert to marry a mamzer or a man with crushed testicles. The children of converts, I'm so sorry.
I think the idea, if I understand this, it's just that...
The children of converts may also marry these individuals, even if they were conceived and born after their parents' conversion. So there's also that we had to talk about. It is true even after the passage of several generations, as long as they are still known as converts and neither of their parents is a natural born Jew. This is the halacha in accordance with the king of Rabbi Yossi.
Right. So I think the idea being here is that not that, I think he was just mekel in general. In other words, it's certainly not that they can't marry anyone they want. They can. But it's that even a mamzer can marry them. So I think he had like a more mekel view. So he looked at them in both ways kind of thing. In other words, number one, that you're allowed to marry a Kohen, but number two, right, it is a little weird, though. How could he say she's Kshera to marry a Kohen, but then also Kshera to marry a Mamzer? So it's a good question how we view that. I don't know enough about it. Okay, but now the question is going to be this question that Rabbi Yochanan asked about the Tzuadaka, who is it according to? We're going to say that his question couldn't have been according to Rabbi Yehuda, it couldn't have been according to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Ela Rabbi Yehuda, right, Rabbi Yehuda says... The son of a ger, right? The daughter of a ger is a chalala, right? And the kahal gerim is nikra kahal. So what's the issue here? If he was holding like Rabbi Yehuda, bein bikdushate kai, bein la bikdushate kai, lo achla. Whether we say this psuadaka still has the kedusha of a kohen, that he can feed truma or not, it doesn't matter. For sure she can't achla. Why? If he's really considered a kohen still, lo achla deha amar mar bat ger zachar kebat chalal zachar. Right, she can't marry him at all because she is a chalala, so she can't marry the kohen. In which case, if he's a ptsuadaka, if a ptsuadaka is still considered a kohen, right? That was the whole question: is he still considered a kohen that he has rights to truma to give it to her or not? So if he's still considered a kohen, well, then he clearly can't marry her according to Rabbi Yehuda because she's a bat. Gear, right? So it's like a... I'm sorry, one second. If bat gear zachar kebat chalal zachar, and therefore, one second, we're trying to ask, his question was, tzuadaka kohen shenasa bat gerim, right? That was the question. She marries the daughter of a gear. So clearly... he couldn't have married her, in which case he can't give her truma, so that he couldn't have even asked the question, could he give her truma? Because obviously he can't give her truma, it's a forbidden marriage. And he loved Bikdusha Tekai, if he's not considered, if he's a Ptsuadaka, who can't marry anybody, right? Now, Lo Achla also truma, why? Because she, according to him, Kilat Gerim, is Nichshav Kahal, in which case a Ptsuadaka can't even marry her either. So according to both Machlokot of Rabbi Yehuda, he certainly would never be able to be Machil Trumah out of this one. V'ila Rabbi Yossi, but if you want to go like Rabbi Yossi, we also can't ask it why. Bein b'kedusha tekei, bein la b'kedusha tekei, whether we say this guy's a Kohen or whether we say he's not a Kohen, achla, she can always eat truma. Why? If he's b'kedusha tekei and he's still considered a Kohen, achla, dehamar, af ger shenasa giyoret bitok sheira lekuna. Right, Rabbi Yossi says he can marry a giyoret, the daughter of a giyoret and the daughter of a ger. So therefore, this psua daka, if he's considered a real good kohen, and he marries this perfectly good woman who's mature to marry him, because according to Rabbi Yossi, a daughter of gerim can marry a kohen, then she should be able to eat truma. It's a regular relationship. Ilah p'kedusha tekei, if you say the psua daka is not considered with his kedusha, right? Achla dehamar kahal gerim lo ikre kahal. What do we say? He can marry her also. It's a good marriage, right? And therefore, she should still be able to eat. Even if he's not considered the Kedusha of a Kohen, he can now marry her because the Kahal Gerim is not considered a Kahal. So she's out of the Kahal, so she's allowed to marry him. In which case, if they have a good marriage, he can give her Truma. Ela Aliba Dehaitana. It must be that the question was asked according to the third interpretation. What's the third interpretation? Okay, in other words, here it's even ima or avia. Okay, that's the full opinion. One of the parents is Jewish, it's enough. And this was the question. Kashrut mitos faba v'achla, odilma kedusha mitos faba v'lo achla. Okay, now, what this means... what does this giyoret have upon her? Does she have kashrut or does she have kedusha? Okay, so this means, one second. Is she ru'uya l'kihuna but not ru'uya l'kahal? In other words, he doesn't relate to this machloket of is it nikra kahal or lo nikra kahal? So this is the question. Is she considered kshera l'kihuna but she's still not part of the kihila? Or, and that was the question, or... Dilma kedusha mitos vaba velo achla, right? Is it kshirut, is it kshirut to marry a kohen, in which case she can eat truma? Or is it kedusha, meaning she's part of Kal Hashem? She's not part, right. A bat gerim has kedusha added to her, which means it takes her out of the kihila of gerim, puts her into the higher level of society, in which case, what would happen in this case? She can't marry Ptsua Daka. If she can't marry Ptsua Daka, then she can't eat Truma. So it's only according to him where he talks about, right, that he doesn't relate to the Kal Gerim question, and that's really the question. Is she considered, when we say that she's allowed to marry a Kohen, does it mean she's allowed, actually it doesn't say, right? He says, Eshet Bat Gerim lo tinaseh l'kuhuna ad sheteh imam Yisrael, so if one of her parents is Jewish, then that means she can marry a Kohen. So the question is, does it mean she's Kshera, or does it mean she has Kedusha, which means she can marry a Kohen, and she has Kedusha, which means she's part of Kal Hashem, which means she can't marry this Ptsua Daka. Because his opinion, obviously, is about Kohanim in general, not about a Ptsua Daka. So that's the question. According to his opinion, that she can marry, does it mean she can marry, but then can only marry a pure Kohen and a regular Yisrael? Or does it mean that if he's a Ptsua Daka, he's still allowed to marry her? So that's the question. So now they want to answer it. Tashma. We're going to answer from this source. Ki ata Rabbi Acha barachinina midiroma. Okay, he came and he came from Roma, I guess. Midaroma, that makes more sense. When he came from Daroma, okay, from Eretz Yisrael, Kiata is always they come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He brings this Mishnah in his hands. Minayin l'ptsua daka kohen shenasa bat gerim shemachila b'truma. Here we have it exactly. It says, how do we know a ptsua daka can give her truma? Shenemar v'kohen ki ikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. He proves it from that pasuk. Anyone who's kinyan kaspo, okay, is allowed to eat truma. And she is also. So therefore, yochalba. So now, what do they say? Right, that's the nefesh kinyan kaspo, yochalba. That's the pasuk. So now, what's the issue, though? This might not answer our question. Why? This could be according to Rabbi Yossi, who said no matter what, he can eat truma. But now they're going to prove that this braita, this source, can't be according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, and it can't be according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it must only be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Once we prove it can only be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then what do we show? that this is an answer to our question. Because remember, the question they proved was only asked according to his opinion, not according to the other. Because if we went with Rabbi Yehuda, we'd say for sure she can't eat. If we went according to Rabbi Yossi, we'd say for sure she can't eat. So now we have this source that says she can eat. We're going to have to prove, obviously it's not Rabbi Yehuda. We know that, because Rabbi Yehuda says anyway she can't eat. But we're going to have to prove it's also not Rabbi Yossi. So Ilem ala Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar ben b'kedusha teikai ben la b'kedusha teikai lo achla. No matter what, she doesn't eat truma. V'ila Rabbi Yossi, lama likra. In other words, you don't even need a pasuk to prove it according to Rabbi Yossi, because it's so obvious, right? It's obvious from the way he understands everything else that you wouldn't need a pasuk; it would be so pashut. So ha'amar, because he says ben b'kedusha teikai ben la b'kedusha teikai achla. So clearly, you wouldn't even have to bring up this source. This source wouldn't exist according to him, because it's so obvious that she can eat. So therefore, El Alav, the Rabbi Lezer, Ben Yaakov, Shema Mina, Kashrut Ito, Sovava Achla. So what does it teach you? This is Shera to marry the Kohen, and therefore allowed to eat Truma. But we don't say, right, that she can't marry this Ptsua Daka, that Kedusha Ito, Sovava, right? She only has Kashrut in terms of Kahuna, but she doesn't have this Kedusha that she's now part of Kal Hashem, yet she can still marry all of the people who are Psulei Chitum. Okay? So now we're going to move on to, well, we'll start this very briefly and we'll finish this up. It's a very short amud. Itma. Rav amar yesh chupa lepsulot, u'shmuel amar ein chupa lepsulot. Okay, we've learned about kedushin, we've learned about nisuin, now we're going to talk about chupa. Okay? Chupa, there's different opinions about what a chupa is and what a chupa does. Okay, so chupa could be standing under the chupa, like we understand. It could be yichud, when we go into the yichud room. Okay, there's different stages that were mostly considered like preparatory for marriage, right? Yichud is almost like you could almost do bia, right? Like, it's because bia is a way of consummating the marriage, having relations. So yichud is like on the way to that. Like, you have this alone time, just the two of you. Chupa is also, we're putting you like under a place together. It's sort of, but the issue is that there's no actual kinyan done. There's no, right, there's, you don't have the bia which makes the kinyan, or the, so the question is.
Translate bia.
Oh, bia is having sex.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Clear. Okay. Yesh chupa lepsulot. So Rashi says, Kohen gadol shechnis amana ba kohen lechupa velo ba'ala. Okay, he doesn't have sex with her yet. Umeikara nami lo kidsha. Now you have to say that this question is all about that there wasn't kiddushin either. Okay, so there's a case where they didn't do kiddushin and they just did chuppa. They haven't yet done nisuin yet either. Afilu hachi psala mitruma. De benasa de chuppa kiknisa beila damya. Okay, like chuppa is considered like he did bia with her. Okay, like they have relations. So yesh chupa lepsulot, the Rav says, there is chupa means you're basically pasul, you've married, it's as if you married her. Our whole question in the Mishnah was kiddushin, right? Does kiddushin mean she can no longer eat truma? Now we're going to say, what if there was no kiddushin? But we're going to discuss another interim stage before the nisuin. Chupa. Does chupa mean she's now pasula and can't eat truma? And Shmuel says, ein chupa lepsulot. Okay? There is no such thing. Chupa is not a meaningful kinyan yet. So therefore, chuppah is not a stage that's going to make her pasul, that if she, right, again, if it's a grusha to a kohen gadol, to a kohen, or a almanah to a kohen gadol, or one of those relationships, it doesn't mean she has to stop eating truma. So, Amar Shmuel, umodili abba, okay, Rav would agree with me, betinoke p'chutami bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. Okay, the concept in halacha is that a boy, we saw this before, under the age of 9 can't have sex, that any sexual relationship she has is not considered actual sex. But for a girl, it's from the age of 3. 3 in a day. Okay? 3 in a day, her sex is considered already a good sexual relationship. I mean, not a good sexual relationship, but it's considered actual sex. Hard to understand, but that's the age they say it's relevant for. So he's saying that Rav would agree with me that from under 3 in a day, ho'il ve'ein labia ein lachupa. There's no mashma'ut to that act, basically, because she can't ever potentially have sex, so therefore, the chuppah is meaningless. Because like I said, chuppah is like preparation for having sex. Amar Rava, af ana nami tanina, and I can even prove this from a braita. Bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, mitkadeshe b'bia. Okay, if you're 3 years and a day, you can do kiddushin with bia. V'im ba'aleha yabam, kna'a. And if her yabam sleeps with her, because remember, yibum, the whole idea of yibum is it's only when he sleeps with her, that's when you fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, and once she's 3, if she's betrothed to someone, you're chayav mishumei shadish. Umutamed ba'ala letame mishkaf tachton ke'elyon. And if she's in nida, I don't know how you have a three-year-old who has nida, but if for some reason, right, again, this is talking about three and up, obviously, until she gets older. So from that age, if she were to menstruate, and she sleeps with someone while she's menstruating, she'd be mitame them mishkaf tachton ke'elyon, right? That's the tumah that he would have, is the type of tumah of mishkav and moshav, right? Remember, you sit on something and then you contract tumah onto that object. Niseit lekohen, if she marries a kohen, ochelet betrumah, she can already start eating trumah from that age. Ba'aleacha mikol psulim psala. And if any one of the psulei chitun, right, if she, right, what would be the case here? I guess let's say she's a giyoret, okay? So then he would passel her that she couldn't eat trumah at that point, right? In other words, or if she was a bat kohen and she was somehow, right, she could be a chalala. That's a good case, right? She was a chalala born to a forbidden marriage. So if she's 3 years old and he sleeps with her, she already can't eat trumah from her father anymore. Bat shalosh shanim b'yom achad, hu demifsala b'biya mifsala, why am I reading this? B'yom achad, hu demifsala. Right? Bebia mifsala b'chupa hapchuta. Sorry, why can't I read this? Yom achad hu demifsala bebia mifsala b'chupa hapchuta mibat shalosh shanim b'yom achad delo mifsala bebia lo mifsala nami b'chupa. They're saying we can learn from here, since all these, right, what do you see here? In the Braita, it talked about bat three and a day. And three and a day in all these cases, what did we say? Only from three in a day are you posel babia, right? So therefore we learn that only three in a day you'd be posel b'chuppah, right? But younger than three, you certainly wouldn't be. Okay, and that was Shmuel's way of saying that everything Rav said was obviously from age three and up. Even when Rav said it's yesh chuppah l'psulot, it's only when you're age three. But under age three, there wouldn't be chuppah l'psulot. Okay, and he just proves it from this source. Okay, we'll stop here, and then the Gemara just says Shmami now. We can learn from there. Okay, so we'll talk more about the Chuppah L'Psulot tomorrow. Okay, I just remember there was one thing I didn't mention in the beginning. Maybe we'll go back to it tomorrow, about the reason why Kiddushin, from the time of Kiddushin, I forgot to mention, there's two reasons why from the time of Kiddushin in a Bat Yisrael, you can't eat Truma anymore. I'll just mention it very briefly. There's two reasons. One is, right, if you remember, you're a Bat Kohen, you're eating Truma from your father's house, and then you marry Yisrael. So already in the Kiddushin time, you already can't eat Truma. And that's because, number one, either you're living in your father's house, and because you're living in your father's house, still the concern is maybe people in your household will accidentally eat Truma, if you're eating Truma. And the other is, they were worried that as it gets closer to the marriage, he's going to find something wrong about you and divorce you, because it's always easier to get divorced from engagement rather than marriage. So therefore, we posel you immediately so that in case he ends up... that would be why... Sorry, this is the opposite. This is why you don't eat truma when you get engaged to a kohen. You don't start eating truma right away. That's what it is. You don't start eating truma right away because you're still in your father's house where they're not eating truma. Sorry, I said the wrong. Or you might not ever get married to this guy, so we don't want to allow you to eat truma now. And in the end, you'll have eaten truma for the wrong reason. That's called simbi.
They have that mukai. The from yesterday, that deaf mute guy, why they wouldn't let you...
Right, because
they were worried if you were in the house.